Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
I am doing question mark Millennial Ben. Presented by Brakes Plus. Mark, for Teddy Bridgewater, was this his Cam Newton moment? Well, yeah, whatever you may want to say about Cam Newton, he was in the Super Bowl coming off an MVP season.
Right.
How about this? All right. Let's have a little fun with this.
All right.
We have gone through the carousel of failed Bronco quarterbacks since PFM. Each quarterback has had their moment that best sums up their failure here. Okay?
Yes.
This will be Teddy Bridgewater's moment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
Years from now, when people talk about the failed Teddy Bridgewater experiment, they'll bring up this play. Just like when people talk about the Case Keenum failed experiment. I will remember.
Yeah.
The open touchdown pass to Demaryius Thomas that would have led to a walk-off victory against Kansas City that any competent quarterback should be able to make. And who knows what that would have meant for that season for Case Keenum and Bronco fortunes moving forward. That was that his football Bronco epitaph. Mm-hmm. What was, We know what Paxton's was, right?
Right.
Oh, yeah. Right. Easy.
Yeah.
What was Joe Flacco?
Just the fact that he was Joe Flacco, I guess.
To me, Joe Flacco's moment was the game. I think it was a Thursday nighter here against Kansas City when Mahomes got hurt. And Matt Moore came in and beat him, but I think it was early in the third quarter, and I've never heard Troy Aikman so ticked off during a press conference. It's almost like he met with the coaches and he bought into all the
stuff they were saying,
and he finally, with total frustration, disgust in his voice, said, "This might be the worst offensive football I've ever seen."
Yeah, well,
that was Flacco.
Right. They were telling him all kinds.
I know.
I think, you know.
Well, they had listened to you that week when you said, well, Joe Flacco is like 23rd on the list of what's bothering the Broncos.
Well, there were
right
a lot
now
of things bothering the Broncos at that point. But, you know, it's interesting when you have those meetings, Mike. And when guys are just all, like, when coaches are honest with you, they just know, like, they know you're not going to throw them, you know, run them down the river, so to speak. Yeah, you're going to accept some of the honesty and you're going to make it your own. You know, you're not going to hurt their brand, not their brand, but you're not going to hurt them with their own team. Right. And then you get, like, it does you no good to blow a bunch of smoke about this, that, and the other. It just doesn't. Yeah, you're right. Troy Aikman was disgusted.
It was like, how dare. He was, you could tell he was as mad at himself for buying that crap. Like,
right.
He ran with it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, he's like, I bought into it.
Shame on me.
Right, I bought into it.
All right, here's one. This is clearly a Bridgewater supporter.
Uh-huh.
Way to keep your eye on the real issues, fellas. Our quarterback isn't a good tackler after interceptions. Biggest problem limiting our team's success. Lazy take. Okay. But you say this speaks to the overall larger issues that confront this team. Way to keep your eye on the real issues. Our quarterback isn't a good tackler after interceptions. Biggest problem limiting our team's success. Lazy take.
That's not our take at all.
No, he says we're making too much out of this. That right. There's been too much. His point is, I assume it's a, put your name on it. His point is too much is being made and Teddy Bridgewater is being unfairly
overly criticized.
And it's not a lazy take at all, because what we've said, if you listen, is that that's not the reason they lost this game. Their inability to stop the run, their surprise, almost surprise that the quarterback actually could get out on the edge and make things happen. The fact that you pulled a guy off the practice squad from a couple of weeks ago who, you know, his moment in the NFL was 2018. And now, and he's been with several teams since his Chicago days. And now all of a sudden you made him, I mean, you about put him in the Pro Bowl. We talked about a bunch of different issues. What we've said is, but this is the face of it. This is the face of a bigger issue. This is the face of a coaching staff that doesn't get it done. This is the face of a, you know, an organization that at home has lost, what, 7 of 13 games at home by double digits? Was that the stat? Like, all I'm saying is, yeah, this is that's a pathetic look from Teddy Bridgewater. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's ugly. But it points to a bigger picture of just organizational dysfunction when it comes to playing this game the right way, coaching this game the right way. And that just puts a face to it.
If we're talking about losing the game, Melvin Gordon is the GOAT.
Right.
Melvin Gordon's the GOAT. Melvin Gordon, who has proven during the course of his career that he has a nose for the end zone. Mm-hmm. He's a guy that more often than not, you like him in short yardage situations. He's got a knack for being able to get that yard. And in this case, he had the first down. If you look up,
right.
If
yeah.
you watch the game, where was the side judge walking in? After, as the ball was being fumbled.
Right.
He had a first down. He fumbled.
Yeah.
And it's something that Melvin Gordon has struggled with at times during his career. During the course of his career, over the course of 92 games, he's lost 12 fumbles. That's an above average number. That's not a good above average number.
Right.
But, you know, this is a guy who, up until that point, had carried the ball, let's see, he'd carried the ball 8 times for 43 yards and a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
So he's averaging about 5 yards a pop. He'd scored a touchdown. By the way, they flashed a graphic early in the game that the two leading running backs in the NFL when it comes to highest percentage of broken tackles in the NFL, number one, Javonte Williams,
right.
Number two, Melvin Gordon.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I don't second guess the decision to go for it. I don't second guess the decision to give Melvin Gordon the ball. He made a mistake. He made a terrible mistake. And it's at that point, down 20-13, he deserves far more of the blame for losing the game than Teddy Bridgewater does.
Can't put the ball on the ground. But that's a mistake of effort.
Correct.
That's the difference.
Correct. Correct.
He's trying to get a first down. He's fighting for a first down. And when you're that's when fumbles happen. When you're fighting for extra yardage, when you're fighting, you know, in a critical situation to get that extra yardage to make sure you have that first down, that's when it happens. I can forgive a mistake of effort. What's unacceptable is basically turning it down, not wanting to be involved. And I don't care what anybody says. Anybody. Don't give me the, well, you know, he's had a catastrophic injury. He had a concussion several weeks ago. You know how much I care? I give zero you know whats. Zero. Because that's your job. It's not about you. It's not about your injury. It's not about your hardship. It's your team. And if you're unwilling to put your team ahead of yourself, then you'll never have success. If you're worried about your brand more than you are making plays, if you're worried about your own well-being, you're an independent contractor. And you know what you'll never sniff? Success. And it's not like this wasn't the first time that this happened this year. It happened just a few weeks ago when Cortland Sutton did not make any effort after an interception was thrown.
Right.
And it was a big enough deal that it was addressed within the team.
Mm-hmm.
Cortland Sutton was called out for that. So it's not like this team hadn't already been aware that that's not the way to play. They had been alerted to the fact that this isn't the way you play. This isn't what the standard should be. And yet, right, just a couple of weeks later,
mm-hmm,
it happened again.
Right.
Now, what were the excuses given to Cortland Sutton? Wow, this is a guy who just a year ago had torn his ACL. It's a good business decision to make. You
right
can understand why he made it. Same thing here with Teddy. Hey, you know, how many times do quarterbacks make clean tackles, effective clean tackles? More often than not, they get hurt. Here's a guy who probably wonders, am I even going to be here in Denver next year? I got to think about my career. I've already gone through a catastrophic injury in my career. Do I want to go through it again? Business decision. Problem is if you got guys making business decisions every couple of weeks, what does that say about the overall culture of your football team?
Not good enough.
That's why it's a big deal.
Yeah.
Of course. For the texter, that's why. Is it why they lost? No. But is it why they are where they are now as an organization and why and where they've been for the last 5 years? Does it help explain that? I'd say, yeah, that's why it's a big deal.
There is a right way to play this game. And far too often, it just hasn't been played the right way. I don't think that's a stretch. And we can go through, you talked about the Cortland Sutton play. You talk about the Teddy Bridgewater play. You talk about the egregious use of timeouts or lack thereof. You talk about some of the ridiculous challenges.
Noah Fant turning down opportunities to block.
No,
right?
Yeah, just absolutely.
Turning it down.
Not breaking tackles. It goes on. And a Jerry Jeudy. Did he have another drop this week? I've seen him turn down a couple of opportunities to get involved in the blocking game. Not good enough. When you start looking at those things like, well, that's not really my job. Shame on you. It's just shame on you.
So what do you do about it? I mean, we're going to hear people grousing about this all day long. I get it. What do you do about it?
You got to make a hard decision.
And they are?
Well,
you've got a golden opportunity. You will never have a better opportunity to make changes than you will right now. You're coming off a discouraging loss, another home loss, another non-competitive home loss. A game in which you had on display all of the ingredients that we've watched over the last few years that lead us to where we're at right now. Yet another special teams blunder. By the way, help me out with this one, because I went back and looked at the block kick,
uh-huh,
and the view from behind the goalpost, okay?
Yeah, end zone view.
End zone view, okay?
Right.
And on that play, the Eagles did not have anybody lined up over the center.
Okay.
They had, let me see if I can find this here, because it really stood out to me, but maybe this is standard operating procedure when it comes to field goal blocking. But the Broncos had, I can't find it. They had nobody over the center, Eagles didn't, and they had like seven guys lined up on the left, and the Broncos only had four guys over there to block.
Yeah, that's how it works.
That's how it works?
Yeah.
You're basically saying we're confident we can block seven guys with four?
Well,
because you didn't on the block field goal.
That outside edge guy has a couple of guys. He's got to keep his leg inside. He's got to keep his inside arm inside, and then he's got to
sprawl out and essentially take outside guys. But the bottom line is you get seven over there. Your operation between center, holder, and kicker has got to be fast enough to where they, even if they're unblocked, they can't get there.
Boy, that did not look like a... And by the way, I think that Fangio, on, I think he called up the coaching on that one.
But you don't move guy, you don't move guys over. You can't move extra guys over there based on the way they line up. So,
Benny, really quick, can you get Fangio seven?
I have to look
seven,
at the operation of that.
You get seven, Fangio seven ready for me? It was a quick explanation, but
all right.
As soon as you have it, let me know. Because then the next time they did kick the field goal, it was the same exact alignment. But here's what Fangio had to say about the blocked field goal.
Yeah, I don't think we were solid in our technique between the tight end and the wing on that side.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, brother, this guy stinks!
No, but that makes perfect sense. Because you're
so again, nothing wrong with the coaching.
No, not on that. Not on that particular play. I mean, that's
players again.
Yeah, well, that's the way it's that unless you're not coaching it right, but you got to take two or three guys. Like PT field goal is, especially in my day, but now it still is. Dude, you're just sprawling out, and people are going to trip. Like you hit, keep it inside tight, inside your head inside, you step inside. But you get big with your outside. You got to keep your outside foot planted. You can't let it swing. You got to have people trip over your leg.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's you take a beating.
So fair enough. All right. So I'm glad you explained that because the immediate knee jerk reaction is yet another Tom McMahon blunder.
Right. No.
But you're saying no.
No. That's well. No. It's just a lack of execution. But do you know where that play was? What point of the game was
that
play?
Sure, exactly where it was. It was.
I'll just cue it up here, and then we'll see exactly.
Oh, it was the first possession of the second half.
All right.
So, all right. Well, we'll get this.
So talk amongst yourselves.
Okay, talk amongst yourself here. Okay, here we go. If you've had a catastrophic injury and you're worried about getting hurt, I've got a solution. Stop playing football. It's a physical game with 100% injury rate. Go out there and play your butt off for the millions of dollars you make off the backs of those that support the team you play for. Even Peyton Manning, who nobody would ever accuse of being graceful.
Mm-hmm.
Master of the self-sack.
Right.
I was able to Google Peyton Manning tackles, and up popped one where he tripped up Calais Campbell.
Right.
As a Bronco.
Right.
I don't know if it was after an interception or a fumble, but he tripped him up.
Mm-hmm.
Threw himself in there. It wasn't graceful.
Right. Yeah, Calais Campbell, big dude, too, now. That dude is as big as he gets. So... All right, let's see. I got it queued up right now. I'm watching the game broadcast. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So then I got to get to the end zone of the game broadcast. You know the whole operation works, but let's just kind of check it out. All right, so let's see where it's coming from.
Let's see.
Oh yeah, that's horrible. That just horrible technique. Yeah, that's not a.
That's not coaching.
No. The wing. Oh my God. Draymond Jones, that's Draymond Jones at the wing right there. So he stabs out. He doesn't keep his inside hand inside. So he just goes out and the dude just jumps over his leg. I mean, that's field goal protection 101. That's just awful. Execution. And I know that's not how it's coached. I promise you, Tom McMahon, that's like, so you're supposed to, as the wing, you keep your inside foot planted, inside hand, and you turn your body and your head outside and your outside arm to take the outside guy. He just did this. He kept his leg planted, but he took both hands and his body and turned to block the outside, which opened up that space for the defender to jump over his little leggy. And then pop up and block the field goal. That's
garbage. As you can tell.
That's garbage.
You could have had the fastest snap, hold, place ever, and you weren't going to get that kickoff.
Yeah, it had nothing to do with the operation. It had to do with somebody not execute. Like, again, but that's, like, Mike, that is day one. I've sat in a bunch of, I mean, I was on PAT field goal my whole career, everywhere I went. That's day one execution. So if you've ever done it correctly, which I'm assuming Draymond Jones has done it correctly, that is about as big a mental gaffe as you can have.
Okay, why would there be that big of a mental gaffe?
Yes.
Why?
Not paying attention.
It was a 22-yard field goal. You're like, cake, right?
It points to the lack of importance? Do you not want to be on that particular? Do you don't want to do that job? Do you feel like because you're a starting defensive tackle and you're actually playing really well on that side of the ball that's beneath you to play that? Again, it goes to what we've talked about, and, you know, putting a face on it is that Teddy Bridgewater, I've refused to tackle anybody. It goes to a bigger point of this team doesn't dot its I's and cross its T's. It doesn't pay attention to the, again, you came off a Dallas win where I do believe you had your chest puffed out organizationally. And you did pat yourself on the back, and you did call out the media, if I'm not mistaken, about how nobody believes in you. And this is why we don't believe in you. Because when push comes to shove, you don't show up. You don't do the little things. You know what? Herm Edwards used to say it all the time. All the time, and I love it. Gotta sweep the corner. You don't sweep the corners, man. Go look in your corners. There's dust all over them. You think you're working hard. You think you're prepping hard. You have one game where you show up and you think you've arrived. You've never in the last 5 years ever put together anything sustainable, because every time you have a little success, you're too busy worrying about your Instagram page or what social media thing you're going to get on. Or it's a.
In fairness, though, I think.
There is no fairness.
No. In fairness to us, talking about the Broncos. Many of us didn't. We weren't sucked in by what happened last week.
No, what did I say? My key to the game last week was how do you deal with success?
That's all we talked about.
You've never proven you can deal with success.
We said it repeatedly last week. It was the theme of the week. We said it a number of times, right up until Friday when we made our picks. The theme of the week is, do you trust this team to be able to handle that victory over the Cowboys the right way?
Nope.
Right up until D-Mac and I were doing the pregame show yesterday, came time for our picks. I said, all right, well, I'm going to pick the Broncos, but because I have absolutely no faith in them being able to handle prosperity, I got them winning like 17-16.
Right.
They didn't even score 17.
They would have scored 16 had it not been for that block that they, you know.
Well, I'm glad you explained that, because I was curious, because then after that block,
mm-hmm.
they came back down the next possession.
Right.
McManus kicked a 28-yard field goal, and they had the same exact alignment. Philadelphia did. Same exact alignment. Broncos featured the same exact blocking alignment, and it was smooth.
Your alignment never changes.
It never changes.
On the offensive side, it never changes.
Okay, and the Eagles came with the same exact alignment that they had used to block the kick the time before.
Yeah.
And this time it was flawless. Why? Because you
executed the proper technique.
Okay. So in this case, don't pile this all on Tom McMahon then.
No, but again, that's...
I guess you could blame him for not putting the right guy out there. You got to... Now, is it his fault, Mark, for not recognizing that I got a guy out there who doesn't want to be out there?
If your guy doesn't want to be out there, then you got the wrong dudes on your team. Well, listen, I shouldn't even say that. Do you think I wanted to spend 12 years at PET on PET field goal? Especially back in my day when you'd line up and they would put not only a big giant dude on top of you, but they'd put a pusher behind him. So you'd have a 300-pound guy head up over you that's trying to penetrate your inside gap, and then you would have another, like a tight end, with both hands on his ass, trying to ramrod him through you. And you think I wanted to do that job? You just sit there and take one in the ear hole every time you kick a field goal? You think I wanted to do that? Nope, I didn't. Think I ever got one block? Not one time. Not one time. Because you know why? It was important to me. I didn't want to do it. I didn't. I hated it. But it was important because it was about our team, not about me.
More of your reaction coming up next. Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
There is some support out there for Teddy Bridgewater. There we go. These are two different texts that came in at about the same time. Oh man, the get off my lawn duo is at it again, followed by hey boomers, there's a new way to play the game. This old ass style ain't cutting it. Meaning quarterbacks laying life and limb on the line to try to make a...
There's a new way to play?
There's a new way to play, yeah.
That's what you like? Hey, be my guest. If that's what you're the one going to the games, you're not one of the 20,000 no-shows, way to go. Yeah, because with this, you'll get a participation trophy at the end of the year when you're watching the playoffs with the rest of us. That's what you like? Is that really what you...
Well, okay.
Is that what you want?
Hold on now.
Okay.
In this texture's defense, be nice.
That's twice. We're going to have to set up a jar.
In the texture's defense, will there be blowback in that room towards Teddy from the other players? Because if there isn't, if there's actually an understanding of why he made the business decision that he made, it's a business after all, then maybe there is a new way of doing things in today's NFL compared to
Mike. There is
your time.
You're 100% right. There is a new way of doing things in this NFL. 100%. Absolutely. You're 100% right. Now, I mean, that's great. I appreciate the, you know, the new way of doing things. Let me tell you who does things that way. The new way. Miami. The Jets. The Raiders. Cleveland and Cincinnati over the years. Jacksonville. Houston. Yeah, they're adhering to the new way of doing things. The Giants. You've got the Lions, they do things the new way, right? They go ahead and roll over and lay down. Atlanta. Hey, listen, if that's what you want, then knock yourself out.
It's a rhetorical question. Of course it isn't. There was blowback in that room towards Cortland Sutton when he made his business decision following an interception. So at least
Right.
The players then were aware of it, understood that wasn't cool,
mm-hmm.
understand that's not the way you play the game. But that's a receiver. That's not a quarterback. That's not your leader.
Correct.
So I'm fascinated to hear what comes out in these next couple days. From Vic, from Teddy.
I would hope that.
From our birdies on the ground.
I would hope that.
How is this addressed?
I would hope that Teddy would address it and apologize for the lack of effort. You know, I went back and saw the film, and what I thought I did, it was unacceptable. And just move on. Like, I would hope that. And I would fully expect there to be, I would fully expect the team to address it. This isn't good enough. Now, I would also expect the team to stand in front of the podium and basically say it's been addressed, we've moved on. But you have to address it behind closed doors. And I told you with the Cortland thing, I put it on. If I was the coach, I'd put it on. Say, this is why we are where we are. These type of decisions. This is why, you know, we have sucked for 5 years. And there's no other way to put it. So anyhow, that's where I would, you know, that's where I would put it. And then you move on.
Let's see. All right. Draymond Jones sent out a tweet. Apparently got back to him, his comment about what were the problems on the defense, stopping mm-hmm. the run. It's a execution problem and a coaching issue. Now that was immediately construed as, uh-oh, he's taking a shot at the right. coaching staff. Here's what he had to say on Twitter. This message is for clarification purposes only. I, Draymond Jones, have full autonomy when saying this message. Vic Fangio is a damn good head coach and should be respected as such. Our, capital letters, 17-point deficit loss against Philly is on all of us. Capital letters. We all have to take accountability in order to become a better team. No one is solely the blame for us not getting the job done yesterday evening against the Eagles. We will be better, Broncos country. And that was also what Troy Rank reported to us, is that he was simply repeating the message that Vic had given minutes earlier to the team, that this is on all of us, players and coaches. Time now for your injury report, presented by Spine One. Garrett Bowles and Bobby Massey both missed yesterday's game. Pat Surtain, dealing with a knee sprain, was able to go. That was a bit of a surprise. Also, Baron Browning left early in the game with a back issue. We'll wait to hear more this week. That was your injury report presented by Spine One, your one-stop shop for neck, back, and joint pain. So,
my guys at Spine One.
Does that change?
Okay, I would say to respond to that.
All right, hold on. I want you to respond to that. Okay.
All right.
More reaction coming up. That's coming up next. Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan. Kevin in Hudson. Hey, Evans, that injury report you read should list Teddy Bridgewater as spineless.
Ouch.
I broke my back. Spinal.
Ouch. I don't know how Teddy, I don't know how he lives this down. Here's some more. How can we take this team seriously if they continue to start Teddy after that effort? That was your captain saying me over team.
You're 100%. Hey, you're right. And by the way, the going back to the Draymond Jones tweet, all of us, our, this, that, the other, you know, the Broncos, and I appreciate the clarification. He wasn't trying to quote unquote sell out the coaching staff. He was just repeating what Vic Fangio said, thanks to Troy Rank, who clarified that as well. He's clarifying that. But one of the things he said in that tweet is that they will be better. You guys are the boy who cried wolf. How long are you as a franchise going to claim that you're going to be better? Seven losses by double digits in 13 home games in the last two seasons. By the way, there are still four home games left. You got a home game against Kansas City. You got a home game against the Chargers. Who else do you have home
games? Detroit and Cincinnati.
Detroit and Cincinnati. Detroit's looking at you right now like that's our one victory on the season. I mean, those guys don't even show up at their own home.
That's right.
Hey, if we can go into Pittsburgh and play these guys to a tie, imagine what we can do in Denver.
Right. They're looking at Denver, right? And you know what they're showing? They're not showing film of Denver. They're just showing knee pictures. Pictures of guys' knees going, oh, we're going to eat that.
Where is
knee.
Detroit going to get their first win?
That knee looks delicious.
At Cleveland? Ooh, Cleveland's a red-hot mess right
Oof,
now.
Oof, right? Boy, oh, boy, Baker's list is.
Then they get Chicago at home on Thanksgiving. Oh, they got no chance against Justin Fields.
Chicago at home on Thanksgiving.
Then they're home against Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Who knows what Minnesota team.
Minnesota could roll off seven straight victories.
Who knows? Who knows with that team? Then they come here. That might be their best chance.
Could be. We know they got a chance here in Denver to get a double-digit victory.
Colin in Windsor. The Broncos have to cut Teddy today. You can't expect to keep a locker room together with your team leader, in quotes, quitting on the team and the game.
I don't necessarily think, I don't think that's correct. You don't cut Teddy Bridgewater today. But don't you feel like you have to make some move? Isn't there an accountability aspect? We just can't keep going Draymond Jones. We will be better. We will be better. We will be better. You know, the thing that really drives me crazy is you get one victory, albeit, you know, against the Dallas Cowboy team that everybody thought was really good. And it's as though you arrived. You guys didn't believe in us. No, of course we don't believe in you. Because look at the dreck you put on film on a week-to-week basis. It's just bad. So, anyhow.
Drew would have gone for the tackle.
I have no doubt.
Drew would have gone for the tackle. And there's...
He had lots of practice at it last year.
Yeah, there's probably no doubt in my mind he would have been all...
He'd have made that tackle.
Gangly and splayed out and awkward. And he probably would have, broken a collarbone or something like that. But he would have made the effort.
He would... There's zero question in my mind. Brett Rypien would have made that effort.
You know who else would have made the effort? Paxton Lynch.
Now I think you're...
You think I'm...
Now I think you're...
Getting a little hyperbolic?
Yeah. Huh? Yeah, that's...
Okay.
Yeah.
Tebow, duh.
Yeah, I mean, Tebow would have scooped up the fumble and scored.
That year he would have.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Excuse me. Yes. Coming through. Okay. He would have... Part of the defense, like the Red Sea.
Yes.
And scooped up the fumble and run it in. Seriously, that year he would have.
Yeah.
No doubt about that. Let's see some more. Teddy Bridgewater has to go. Denver will never be anything with him under center. Interesting week. This week has just gotten a whole lot more interesting than I thought it would be because Broncos country... The message came through loud and clear last night, loud and clear today. You are over Teddy Bridgewater. You never really embraced him anyway.
No, you didn't like him.
That,
I think you liked him.
No, they didn't.
You liked him, but you didn't embrace him. There's a difference.
Okay.
You can like the guy, but just never really embrace him.
You know what Teddy's perfect for? Your backup quarterback.
Yeah.
Everybody loves the backup.
I don't even know if he can be a backup here anymore.
Everybody loves the backup.
Huh?
Yeah, that's kind of an indelible scarlet letter, isn't it? That play, that's what people were.
You know what he needs to do this week?
What's that?
He needs to fall on his sword.
Sword. He does.
Like big time.
Big time.
Like, I mean, this is like King Arthur. And what was the name of his sword?
Not Lancelot.
No, Lancelot was his number one man. Excalibur. Right.
Excalibur.
Man. God.
He pulled it out of the stone.
Yeah. Between everything with the Broncos, like, I mean, you got falling on the sword. You got, King Arthur and Camelot. You got the hubris, the arrogance of Vic Fangio patting himself on the back for coming up with the template that nobody else had ever figured out against Dallas. And how about that Kellen Moore now? Man, it's like a Greek tragedy. I mean, you need Professor Zeus to talk about the hubris.
Right. Why Mount Olympus fell? Right? Because you see, it's the time when Zeus, air quotes, Vic Fangio, thought that he was the reason for the success. What he didn't understand was that it was everybody else. And then they blew it up.
And then he was the victim of?
Hubris. Hubris.
Oh. He was the victim of his own hubris.
I swear to God. I swear to God. True story. I'm driving in this morning. Nice quiet solitude in my car. I'm like, we got to make sure we have a little fun with this whole thing, right? I mean, I don't want it to be a complete downer, right? I'm like, and I started thinking about the whole arrogance of Vic and the, and then I stumbled upon the word in my mind, hubris.
Hubris.
And I was like,
hubris.
It's like a Greek tragedy.
Right.
And then I started thinking,
it's the classic, Mike Evans, it's the classic Greek tragedy.
This is what I'm thinking. I'm thinking about Greek tragedies.
Right.
I start thinking about Professor Zeus.
Yeah.
And hubris. And I'm thinking at some point, I gotta get this in. I gotta get Professor Zeus in on this.
It's a tale as old as time with love and all kinds of other stuff. I couldn't think of what I was gonna say. It's love. And then it's tragedy. And then it's upset and despair.
Oh, man.
And then the next thing you know, you let your hubris get in the way.
Hubris, yeah. Hubris, man. It's brought down many people.
It's brought down many a Greek god.
There you go.
Over time.
And NFL head coaches who wear sweatpants. Okay.
All right. That was fun.
We're done. Let's see what Chad and Nate have in store for Teddy Bridgewater. Any let up? We'll listen next. Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.